Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Jesus is King, and we have a list of lots of different things that Jesus is just, I don't know, just so good with, all right? He's the incarnate King. He's the wise King, the holy King, the empathetic King, the serving King, and the unifying King. And so I want to just ask a very basic question. Just, are you convinced yet? Are you convinced yet? Are you convinced that Jesus is worth being the King of your heart? And both Eric and I really, really strongly desire for you to just wrestle with that over the course of this week, so that at the end of the week, you can say, yeah. Or you can say, no. But at least you've wrestled with this, and you've thought about it, and you've just let God speak to your heart about where you are in relationship to Him as King. Today we're going to look at Jesus as another aspect of His kingship, and it's called the empowering King. Jesus is the empowering King. All right, He empowers. So, as we get started, I had this thought. You know, I want you to have the same thought. When was the last time, don't say it out loud, just think about it, where you were really, 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 I mean really frustrated? Oh yeah, I already went through that. It's all good. When was the last time you were really, really frustrated? Think about it. Why were you frustrated? Why were you frustrated? When I think about the moments in my life where I'm most frustrated, it's because I want to do something, but I can't. Right? Like, there's a desire in my heart to accomplish something, and oftentimes it's a really good thing. But I don't have the power to actually accomplish what I desire to do. That's when life gets oh so frustrating. All right, even if it's with like a sibling or something like that. Like, I want to do this, but my sibling has some other desire. And so I have no power over my sibling to make that happen. And so I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated, even as like a dad, right? Like, there are times when my kid does something and I react in a way that's just like, ah! Your parents have never done that to you, right? It's just me. It's just me, right? No, I don't believe it. Your parents are amazing. It's just me. And like, I want to act differently. I want to be able to be like, okay, all right, I know you did that. It's okay, all right? And I want to be calm, cool, collected, and really speak into the heart of my kid. Like, that's what I want to do, but it just comes out as blah anyway. And I'm just frustrated because I desire to do good. But the good I want to do, I don't have the power to do in my own self. And so I'm frustrated. And we've talked a lot about what Jesus wants from us. These are words that we hear from Jesus. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Whew. All right? That's what Jesus says. Jesus teaches us that life is about serving others and not ourselves. That's hard. Have you ever tried to love your neighbor as yourself? That is not an easy task. When I became a Christian, way back when I was 7 years old, I actually started to want to do those things. I wanted to be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. I wanted to love my neighbor as myself. Like, my desires changed so that I wanted to please God, but it was so frustrating because as much as I wanted to please God, it's just hard to do those things. And the more I tried, it felt like the less power I had. And yet, we need to remember that Jesus is the empowering King. So I want you to go to Ephesians 4 with me this morning. We're going to look at verses 11 through 16. I'm going to count to 15. Is that enough time for you guys to get to Ephesians 4? Someone's already there. Wow. Unbelievable. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 and a half, 9 and 3 quarters, 9 and 7 eighths, 9 and 15 sixteenths, 9 and 31 32nds, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. All right. I hope you're there. All right. I want you to listen to this passage and let it just resonate in your heart and think about that frustration and lack of power to accomplish what we want. So the verse starts with this phrase, "So Christ himself gave." I just want to stop there for a moment. Christ himself, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the holy King, the incarnate King, the wise King, himself gave. That is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is to give, to give, to give, to give. He has unlimited power, unlimited resources, and he longs and desires to empower us. He doesn't ask something from us that he doesn't want to give to us. So if he says, be perfect, he has a way of empowering us to be perfect. And so what did Jesus give in this passage? Well, let's continue reading. It says, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. In other words, it starts with God gave people. To people. God gave people to people. God gave us evangelists. And what are evangelists able to do? They're able to talk to people who don't know Jesus and speak in a way that you begin to understand who Jesus is. That's an evangelist. We need people like that. We need people who can talk to me to remind me of who Christ is. He gives us pastors. What do pastors do? Pastors help us in the difficulties of life. They ask us and bring us to a new level in Jesus Christ. God gives us people to help people. That's an incredible gift that God gives. And why does he give them? It says, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to move to verse 14 now. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. as each part does its work. So the first thing I really, 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 again, wanted you to notice is actually number two and probably on my list. Jesus gives us each other. Jesus gives us each other. And that empowers us to live the life that Christ asks us to live. You cannot live the Christian life on an island all by yourself. You need other people to encourage you. And one day, I might be encouraging you. The next day, you're going to be encouraging me. Because the first thing on my list is God gives us the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who makes a person an evangelist. It's the Holy Spirit who makes a person a pastor. It's the Holy Spirit who makes someone an encourager. It's the Holy Spirit who makes someone a teacher. When we become a follower of Jesus Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit, the very nature of God, and he places himself in our hearts. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power of God in us to accomplish what God has asked us to do. He doesn't leave us alone in that. But again, he doesn't give you everything. He gives you something so that you can help someone else. And he gives them something so they can help you. This was God's desire. So I have good news for you. You, if you are in Christ, have a gift from the Holy Spirit. And that gift is going to empower you to do what God wants you to do, but it's also going to empower somebody else to do what God asks them to do. We get to discover what that is. Here's the third one. Transforming power. Transforming power. This is God's desire and design for humanity. That we be transformed. You've seen the movie Transformers, right? Simple concept, right? Simple concept. You have a vehicle. It transforms. Now it's a person. Right? Sometimes transformation happens quickly. Sometimes transformation takes a long time. Think about a butterfly. How long is a butterfly in a cocoon? Think about a baby elephant. 2 years in its mother's womb before it comes out. Because it's busy doing the process of transforming into an elephant. Guys, we are in the process of being transformed. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, whether you feel him or you don't feel him, he is changing you. Remember I said when I became a Christian, my desires changed? That was God transforming me. If I look back from when I was at the age of 5 to where I am at 41, I'm an entirely different person. And if I live to the age of 80 and I look back at who I was at 41, I'm going to be an entirely different person. I'm going to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. Because Jesus is constantly working in my life through the Holy Spirit to shape me and to mold me. And he is doing the same thing in you. So today, you might fail at living the way God wants you to live. But that doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to fail at living the way God wants you to live. Every day, we get a little bit more like Jesus. The fourth one, this is fantastic. God does this transformation through truth in love. That means when we take the time to study the truth, when we take the time to look at the truth, God is lovingly going to move you towards himself. He is going to empower you to live the way he wants you to live. So when you invest your time and your resources in the truth, when you invest your time in the Bible, when you choose to spend time every morning in the Bible before you go to school, God is lovingly transforming you into the person he desires you to be. And so if you add up all of that time that you spend in the truth, in the loving truth, you're going to find that you have more and more and more power to live a holy life. To live a holy life. But the opposite of that is true. The less time you spend in that truth, that's less power that you're adding to your list. So while even the Holy Spirit is working, you aren't joining in that work. When we spend time with Jesus in the morning in our Bibles, we're adding to that power. We're working with him. The last one is patience, and I love this because, again, it's transformation. It doesn't happen all at once. God is not going to condemn you because you don't have the power today to live the way you want to live. He's not going to condemn you for that. He's not going to say, shame on you. No. Jesus walked this earth, right? He's our empathetic King. He knows what it's like to walk in your shoes. He gets you. So he's not going to just like smack you because you didn't do exactly what he wanted you to do. He's not going to get upset with you because you tried to live the holy life and it didn't happen today. He's going to be patient. He's going to hold your hand. He's going to say, it's okay. Trust me, keep going. Keep going. That change is going to happen. You may not like how you handled it today, but if you stick with me, if you stay close to me, I'm going to empower you to be able to live that way tomorrow. That's really cool, isn't it? That God has that much attention to you, and that the king wants that. So what does this mean to you? I already mentioned a lot. When Jesus is king of your hearts, you have the Holy Spirit, and he is gifting you. You don't always know what that gift is, but it shows up. When I was your guys' age, I was terrified of being in front of people. I would have been in the back row. And when I stood in front of people, I could hardly talk. It was going, blah, 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 and then I'd feel like I was going to pee my pants. Okay, that's what life was like as a seventh grader in my life. You wouldn't be able to tell that by looking at me today, would you? You can't. So what happened? Jesus changed me and gave me a gift. And he's asked me to use that gift for his glory and for you guys. That's why we're here. He's given your counselors gifts. They're pastoral. They're pastoring you. They're listening to you. They're walking with you. They're listening to your hearts and giving you wisdom and insight into that. They're pastoring. That's a gift that God has given them right now for you guys. And you guys have gifts too. You just need to start trying to figure out what they are. And you do that by just obeying God. You'll discover. You'll figure it out. All of a sudden you'll be like, wow, I was really good at that. How'd that happen? God, a gift. Right, gentlemen? Yeah, absolutely. I think it also is important to remember this, and I mentioned it before, but I just want to re-mention it again. Guys, we have to spend time with other believers in Jesus Christ. We absolutely have to spend time with other believers in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we never go out and spend time with other people. I spend about 80% of my time with people who don't know Jesus. Okay? But that other 20% is incredibly valuable to me. Because I'm around other people and I get to use the gifts God has given me to help them, and they use their gifts to help me. And so we're dependent upon each other as we're all dependent on God. Because God gives me something, I give it away. God gives them something, they give it to me and to everyone around them. If we fail to be with other people who are also believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to transform a lot slower. And we're going to lose out on a lot of the grace God wants us to receive. The last thing I want to mention here is that you don't need to fear messing up. Do you remember we talked about confession earlier, about God's mercy? We don't need to be afraid of Jesus when we mess up because he's going to be faithful to forgive us. Don't fear messing up when you're trying to live for Jesus. It's okay. It's a process. All right? So take a chance and try to live the way that God has called you to live. Who knows? Maybe he'll give you some extra power through the Holy Spirit to do it today. Or maybe he'll help you grow so that you can do it tomorrow. But Jesus isn't going to get mad at you because you tried and didn't do it the way that we all wanted to accomplish. So don't be afraid. He is loving and he is patient and he will walk you through the process. So I asked the band to come up at 10:40. It's 10:43. Because I want to do one more song before we close today. And the song is called Waymaker. All right, now before you get all excited about the tune, because the tune is fantastic, there's some words in that song that really are talking about this transformation. In fact, I believe the bridge says, even when I don't feel it, or even when I don't see it, you're working. That is the truth of transformation. That is the truth of transformation in our hearts. Let me pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.